Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
We're going to be talking, as Pastor Joel said, about fatherhood, about being a father to the fatherless, about what God has ordained us all to be as fathers and as men of God. I know, first of all, before we get into this, you have a couple questions. Two, probably. Who is this guy, and why is he on the stage? First of all, I am Chaplain Paul. I am honored to be a minister here at the Rock Church. I've been here for about 25 years. I'm always hiding somewhere else. Thank you for allowing me to come up here. Secondly, why am I on this stage? Well, chances are after tonight, depending on how it goes, you'll probably never see me up here again. So let's just get past that. Real quick, we are going to jump right into this. As Pastor Joel said, we're going to have a panel tonight. We have a wonderful group of men, esteemed men, fathers in this house that are going to teach us all something, okay? So right now, I want to invite my three panelists up. That's going to be Reverend Larry, it's going to be Pastor Dan, and Pastor Paul Ogando, okay? If you guys can work your way up here. Real quick, while they're working their way up here, anybody that knows me, I'm kind of a number statistical guy. So I put some stats together that are going to help us tonight. This Sunday, almost 25% of married church-going women will worship without their husbands. 25%. Over 70% of boys who are raised in a church will abandon it during their teens and 20s, will turn their back on God. And lastly, more than 90% of American men believe in God. 5 out of 6 call themselves Christians, but only 2 of the 6 attend church on any given Sunday. These are staggering statistics. We here at the Rock Church are going to end that, okay? This is Father's Day rewrite. We're starting today with the men, with the Father, okay? So, real quick, we're going to do a quick introduction. I know these guys don't need introduction. We know them. We know our senior pastor, Pastor Dan Roth, wonderful man of God. We know Reverend Larry Reynolds. He is a member of our board. He has been here for umpteen years. I love leaning up against him because he's got more nuggets in his head about fatherhood and about parenting and about being a husband than I can ever learn. And we have Pastor Paul Ogando from our La Roca team. Okay? So we're going to jump right into this, and we're going to start right with you, Larry, with a real easy question. Okay, now, after we get started and Larry's done, you guys can feel free to jump in. Like I said, this is a real easy one. Larry, what has been your biggest challenge for you growing up without a father in your home, and how did you use this challenge to raise your family?
Okay, so in case you don't know, I have 7 brothers and sisters, and my father and my mother were divorced when I was like 3 or 4 years old. So pretty much we were on our own. And a lot of the vision and leadership type stuff that you'd want to hear from your dad, confirmation of ideas and all the encouragement, we really didn't see any of that. And so we had a choice to make an excuse and just say, all right, we got no dad, so we could cry our way through life, or we could figure out a way to make it. And so fortunately, I had a great mom and great grandmother that were nothing but about the Word of God. And so the principles that they taught us when we were young, even though we didn't want to hear it, those were the things that kept us and got us through. And so for me, you know, I was fortunate enough to be a decent athlete, and I got a lot of accolades as a result of that, but I knew that wasn't going to last forever. So even in the midst of all that, we had this organization called Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So God placed us in this small town, but pretty much everybody that had any kind of influence on us had some biblical, spiritual upbringing, and they kind of rubbed on us, like iron sharpens iron, you know that? And so throughout the entire time where we may have missed an opportunity to learn from our dad, there was always a biblical principle that was instilled in us that we kind of leaned on even to this day. And so it's real important for me that even though we didn't have a dad, and actually, you know, I haven't really shared that much. My dad was abusive, and I learned all this stuff here recently. But through it all, because of the influence my parents had, my grandmom and my mother, we just leaned on the Word of God consistently. I try to do three things. One, pray. Two, study the Word. And three, apply the principles of the Word to my daily life. And if we can do those three things on a consistent basis, your Father becomes the Holy Spirit. Your Father becomes the Word of God. And so that was kind of how we replaced it. I can keep going, but, you know, I don't know if you want to do that.
We got all night.
Okay.
They're not going anywhere.
So I'll just say this. There's numerous times in our life when we have to make decisions. You know, you want to do the right thing, wrong thing. And at some point, if you have the Word of God deep down on the inside, it's going to convict you. It's going to challenge you to make the right decisions in life. You may make mistakes. You may scrape your knees. But you always want to get back to that Word. And I believe this for my own kids. The Bible says like that if you train up a child in the way he should go, he will not depart. But that word training is not just read it, just do it temporarily. Training is consistent effort. So all the parents out here, whether you're a dad or a mom, we have to be consistent in how we teach our kids. And if we show any inconsistency, they're going to see it. But if you're consistent, whether they like it or not, sooner or later, they're going to come back to it.
Amen. That's good. That's good. Pastor Paul, do you have anything to add? Anything?
Not after Larry, no.
Absolutely.
Usually,
that's
no.
Why I was kind of hoping for a segue there. No. Okay. Pastor Dan, what would you see as the priority of fatherhood according to the scriptures, and how can this teach us all today to be better fathers?
That's such a great question. You know, the scriptures are chock full of parenting advice. Larry just quoted Proverbs 22:6, which is one of the foundation scriptures of all parenting, that you train up your children in the training and admonition of the Lord, in the way of the Lord, and they will not depart from him. Ephesians talks about the training and admonition of the Lord with our children, but you know, when you talk about foundational and priority, in Genesis chapter number 18, God is having a conversation with himself, essentially. He's got the angel of the Lord coming, talking to the angels. And in verse 17, the Lord says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." So God is taking counsel, basically, and he's saying, should I hide anything from Abraham? This is my friend. Abraham was called the friend of God, right? And in verse number 19, it says, "For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord and to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." And I think that's such a priority verse because it shows that God not only wants to involve humanity in the plan and the purposes of God, but it shows the purposes of our parenting. That our parenting is not just to raise well-rounded children or people who are just good in society. That the priority and the purpose of our parenting is to command our children and our household after us to do righteousness. Righteousness is an old English word, right wiseness. It's the wisdom of God. It's the right will and the right way of God. It's both the position that we have with God and in God and the practice of doing what's right in his eyes. And then it says, and justice. Justice is what God says justice is. You know, there's a lot of people out there that say that's unjust, that's not right. This is what's just and right. And yet God says there is a way of justice that he determines. And that if we will submit ourselves to his justice and to his righteousness, his ways, and command our family after us. You know, if I could get into some current events and things like that, you know, I think that our nation in many ways is in the situation that it's in, and we're seeing a lot of the, not only the reaction, but I don't know what to call it, the working out of what's on the inside of people, because there is such an anger and such an emptiness. People are lost, people are broken, and people are hurting. And if we had parents teaching their children the way of the Lord and the way of righteousness, keeping that priority on this is what God says, because we are involved in the plan of God. God calls families. If people understood that purpose and that priority, I believe that their passions would be channeled into things the right way. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't go and take care of justice and those sort of things, shouldn't get involved in politics or shouldn't get involved in social causes and things like that. I think those are all good things. But they should be out of the calling of, I am called to do this for the Lord. And that's where we find the William Wilberforces, that's where we find the Martin Luther King Jr.'s, that's where we find the great men and women of God over the years that have made history in secular realms. So, you know, the George Washington Carvers and some of these guys that knew God and knew their purpose on the earth because they had the word of the Lord on the inside of them. And even we tell our children sometimes that, you know, our family is called. You know, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, he's the God over Israel, which was the 12 tribes. God is a God of families. And so our family, we know our family is called. It doesn't mean that our children grow up and be pastors, but they're called to something. They're called to build the kingdom. I think that's really the priority for parenting for all of us.
Excellent. That's a great word. You nailed it with, we're in a lost and dying world. And we're all called, as your family, as we all are, to be ministers to a lost and dying world. So welcome. You're on staff.
Yeah, that's right.
Pastor Paul.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm good.
Pastor, what has been your motivation to better your family, and how have you motivated your children to better themselves?
I've been thinking about that question. It's been kind of in my mind. I thought, I don't know if we still have the pictures, but my family, they're over here sitting down, all the three kids and my beautiful wife. And, there's the photo there. Oh, okay.
There they are.
If it doesn't look good, Pastor Joel took it. So for us, it's very, it's a question that's very interesting because we all want to do better. And so I love sports. And one of the things I was doing is I coach both of my boys. So I was coaching them in basketball. And one of the things I did wrong to a certain degree is I pushed them almost a little too far in some of the things because I love basketball and I was really into it. And so I got too into it with the kids. So I had to like pull back, not because I wanted to, but the wife made it clear I needed to pull back. So I did. It's just one of those things where I went ahead with it. But when that reminded me of becoming or being better is one of the things that happened is a lot of times our parents, I know my mom did, I didn't have a father. My father passed away when I was really young. I was 3 and a half, almost 4 years old. And so my mother did not remarry. And so we were raised under my grandfather because my grandma has passed away a few months after that. And so we all moved in with my grandfather. And so he was a great man. He wasn't a believer till, you know, his last days, but he was a really good man. Hard worker, you know, loved to read. There was a lot of things he taught me. But one of the things I noticed is when I pushed back, my mom would back off. And so then I am the jack of all trades, but I wasn't excellent at anything. And it bothered me later when I became an adult. I was like, man, I know a lot of things in life, and that's wonderful to be multifaceted, if you would call it that way, but I wanted to be really good at something. And so it was one of the things that drove me to, you know what, I'm going to focus on some things and become really good at that so that I can excel later in life. And so with my children, I, you know, try to push certain ways, but I don't want to back off too much because I want them to find that one thing that's going to make them really good in life. Right now they'll hate it, later on they'll love it, because that's just part of life. If we, you know, I think we've led off too easy on our children in many ways, and so they got to find their way. We got to work with their bent, to say at least, and their personality. Everybody who has kids knows every kid is way different, right? Every kid is his own thing. But if we find that way, we have to push them towards it so that later in life they can be good at what they do. And in the Word of God, the way I found that to be applied to myself, if you've ever heard me share this, I'll try to, you know, not go too long. But when I was 15 years old, I got into an argument with my mother. And so I got in her face and just a yelling match. And she wasn't yelling back. She was a very patient woman. And I just got, you know, here she got a fatherless teenager just losing his mind. And so it was a Saturday night when we had youth group. And so we had a big old argument. So I left and I just went, okay, I'll go to church because I had nowhere else to go. I don't even remember what the argument was about, but she was very patient with me. I was so disrespectful. Got to church, and that night, there was a missionary. He was a prophet, Greg, and he visited our church a few years ago. But he said, there's somebody here, and it was a small church, maybe 25 kids in this meeting. And he says, there's somebody here that God wants to reveal himself as a father to you. Man, I just started bawling. I was like, I knew it was for me. He prayed for me. And that day, I got a realization that God wants to be a dad. Like, up to that point, I was like, oh, Father God. But that day, I got a realization of God as a father. And that propelled me once again to find the things that I can be good at. I just saw the Lord like, hey, you can do these things. You can be good at these things. Because I didn't have somebody to speak it over me. God can do that for you. He's the perfect father. And so, but it was the one verse that my mother always taught me, which is honor your father and mother, which is a commandment that has a blessing. I'm thinking in Spanish and saying it in English. So if you didn't know, my first language is Spanish.
I'm praying in tongues.
And so, I know, huh? And so I'm thinking it here. And it says, because you will live long and it'll go well with you. And I remember learning that verse from a young age. And I said, I want to do that. And it took me a lot of challenges in my life to honor my mother and honor those men that God sent into my life so that I can be better at the things I do. And I think honor for me is the key that allows you to be better in life. And if you can do that, you will gather certain things from these people. So God, I didn't have a father, but God sent me certain men in my life that gave me an element of themselves that made me better. Whether it be my Christian walk, whether it be my professional life, those things improve. And so if with my kids, I try to do the, hey, find a thing like, you know, Gabriel's good at sports. So, hey, man, we kind of push him that way. Hey, you can do these things. Or Abby's this way. Or Ethan likes, you know, he's very studious like his mom. And so they're very brainiacs. And so, hey, man, get your stuff done. Do your thing. Don't be a hammerhead like your dad. You know, just like do the right thing. And so everybody has their thing. But the one thing I have to say, that verse for me was transformation. If you honor the things in your life, it'll add to your life to be better. So it's a long
Amen.
Way.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, can't do any cookie cutter kids. Can't do it.
You're right.
We're gonna have one real quick pop up because I had this and I think I know Larry's answer. So we're gonna start with you, but I want both of your opinions because we're all in the same boat and you'll know where I'm going with this. What do you tell your daughters of the kind of man to marry that will become fathers to our grandchildren?
Does he look like me? No,
I'm just kidding.
Look, I think it's important that whoever your daughter is going to marry has got the word of God in them. Amen. Richly. Amen. Richly.
Yes.
No fakers coming up in our house trying to quote some scripture. All right. There's two of us in there. Figure that one out real quick. But we also know it's not our call. It's the daughter's call, right? So hopefully the dad, the father in the house, if there's no father, but there's been someone that can exemplify what Jesus would do, what he would be like, and somebody can walk, not perfectly, but honors God consistently throughout their life. And if you're that kind of example, somebody else comes and bring their little raggedy stuff in here, it's going to show up.
Yeah.
And so if I could consistently display how Christ, or the word of God, have me to react to situations, good, bad, ugly, then it's going to slowly but surely influence those others that are around you. And that's what I would say. You want to have somebody that loves God. And if they do that, everything will work out. Because if they humble themselves before the mighty hand of God,
okay,
it'll work out. They'll be exalted. Okay. The relationship will be exalted in due time.
That's good.
Okay. Pastor Paul,
I mean, you
have a ways to go.
I do. Pastor Dan is closer than me, so I'll do. But yeah, I realized, Abby turned 12. And so I told my wife, because she's, you know, really tall and beautiful. And I told my wife, I'm like, I'm not ready for this. I can't even go there mentally. Like, I'm going to kill somebody right now. Like, somebody walks in my door right now. This is the end of it, right? Like, mentally, I just couldn't go there. It just becomes really precious at that moment, right? And then you realize what the parents of my wife was like. My father-in-law loved me. My mother-in-law took a few years to love me. I was taking her girl, you know. I'm like, what are you doing, guy? But one of the things my wife shared this weekend as we visited, or last week as we visited my in-laws, she said, my dad, found a husband for me and for her sister. And so my father-in-law was really wise in looking for those things that were godly in us, both James, which is the other, my co-brother-in-law, whatever, I don't know how you say that, but I'm married to my sister-in-law. You know, we're both godly men, we're both in the gospel. There were just things that we did and that my father-in-law emulated those things, and so we wanted to do the same with our wives. So for my daughter, as she's here, would be that, like, is that person, just like Darius said, is God the number one thing? Are you guys heading the same direction there spiritually? And number two, I will go back to the verse I said, does he honor you? Does he honor us? And that, for me, because that verse says, if you honor your parents, if you honor those things, there'll be a blessing in your life upon it. And because I know I've honored my in-laws, I know there's been a blessing in our lives. And so I will just recommend that. Just find an honorable man.
Very good. Very good. Pastor Dan, are you ready for this?
Man, I'm not ready yet because I haven't gone to the gun store, but we're headed there soon.
But you have friends in high places.
I do. So I'll talk to you later, Chaplain. But we tell our daughter the same thing that we were telling ourselves when we were ready for marriage. And obviously, you don't want to wake love before it's time. You know, the Song of Solomon is very clear, even though it talks about the love and the passion and all those things that we desire. When it comes to a spouse and comes to the butterflies and all those things that we want in the romantic relationship and a husband and wife and that sort of a thing. But there's a consistent flow of do not awaken love before it's time. And so even with my daughter being, help me, Lord, 15, my goodness, we have spoken to her and talked to her about her friends that are young men that have been started coming around the house and greeting us and saying hello, sir, and things like that I never thought would be said to me. But we've shared with her, you know, starting something right now versus when you're ready. You know, you're in school, 15 years old, you know, what's putting a label or doing something right now going to do for you guys? What changes the relationship? So just be friends. Enjoy your life, enjoy being young and that sort of thing, keep it pure, all those things. And then what we shared is when the time comes that you're ready for marriage, fall in love with the God on the inside of the individual. Because if Jesus is living in their heart and God's living his life through all of us, like we know from Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives within me. If you can find somebody that's living their life yielded to God and yielded to the life of Jesus Christ, God's going to be living his life through them. And if you fall in love with the God that's in them, then you can't go wrong in that sense, you know? The other quirky personality traits or, you know, the differences in the way the families were and those sorts of things, those can be worked out by the power of the Holy Spirit. But somebody's not following the Lord and living the life of Jesus Christ, that's a deal breaker, you know? And so we've always shared that because when Jessica and I fell in love with each other, that's what we fell in love with. When we fell in love, was we saw God on the inside of the other person. We said, I love that. And I told Jess, I said, I wanted to find a woman who loved God more than she loved me. And that's what she found in me as well, is that, you know, you will always be number two in my life, darling. Even though I love you dearly and there's no one else on the earth above you, you're always going to be second to my relationship with the Lord. And so when we talk to our children about that, and especially my daughter, we tell them, fall in love with the Jesus on the inside of the person.
That's good. Real quick, we're going to take a little turn here, which is kind of unique for us. So right now, we're going to invite three guests up. Can we have Chloe, Jared, and Ethan come up here? Now, those of you who don't know who they are, these are the three panelists, I believe, oldest children. They are the oldest children, all three of them. So we're going to get a little perspective on these three godly fathers and men from their children. Now, Jared's working his way out here, and Jared's going to be our first one. So, you ready, Jared? Okay. Jared, what have you seen in your father that has motivated you to become a father like your dad?
I think growing up, the entire time I can remember that he's been supportive. As busy as he is, I can't remember a time he's missed a sport game, a piano recital. No matter what it is, as busy as his life is running his own business, he still made time and to be where he needed to be to support me. So I never felt in any lack in that area. So I know that raising my kids, for those who know, I have three now.
Woo! Three.
raising my kids, that I want to be, make sure that I'm as present as I felt from my dad, and that's supportive to give me, because what we don't know is when you have a parent or parents who are there for you all the time, as well as my mom, who are always supportive, it gives you confidence. It gives you a different level of self-esteem growing up that you're going to use later on in life. So I think seeing that and then watching him live by example of how he treats people, I said that this morning, how he treats people, how he loves people, how he talks to people, are things that I have to teach my kids, that I hope I can do the same thing.
Being present, that's good. That's good. Chloe, you ready?
I guess.
Okay, good. Describe one of your father's great qualities, and why would you say he is the best dad on the planet? Now this does, I'm just letting you know, at the end of this, this comes into financial gain, so it might be, you want it to be good.
One of his best qualities, he has so many. Probably one of his best qualities has to be his patience with us. He's very understanding, and he's just a sturdy person. Like, he's just solid. And so, like, I know I could go talk to him, and I'll get his full, honest opinion, but he'll give it to me in a calm way. Like, I'll be freaking out, and he has just a way of calming me down and just knowing what to say and what I need to hear, and always bringing it back to the Word of God at the same time. And why he's the best dad? Well, that, for that reason. And he's just very quirky. He's very funny. He loves to embarrass us. It's his favorite hobby. Whether it's your silly dance moves or the dad jokes that he is raising us all to teach our own children.
Talk about Disneyland parking lot. When you guys were in.
Oh, gosh. He likes to blast his music, and none of us have the same taste in music as him. So we were in the parking lot for Disneyland, and we weren't parked yet. It's like the part where you're going in to buy the parking ticket. So everyone's just sitting there waiting, like cars stacked on cars, and people are in their cars still. And he rolls down every window, locks them so we can't roll them back up. And he starts blasting his music, and all of us kids put our hoods on and pulled the strings as tight as we could so that nobody could see who we were. It's funny looking back on it, but it was probably the most embarrassing thing he did. So that's what makes him the best, though.
That's great. That's great. Ethan, how you doing over there?
Good.
Are we out of our comfort zone? Because I know I am.
Yeah.
Okay, good. You and I are in the same boat, brother. Ethan, describe one of your father's passions that has motivated you to be a better person.
I think just his overall work ethic and, like, just ability to, like, when he has something that he wants to do, he doesn't let anything stop him. So, like, he just kind of just pushes through everything, and I'm kind of like, if something happens that doesn't really go my way, I'm just like, oh, well, that sucks. And then if something that doesn't go his way, he goes like as hard as he can to try to push through and get to the, kind of complete what he was trying to do. So, yeah, I just really look up to that, and it's really hard for me to do that. So I know it's just like really inspiring to see him try to do that. And yeah.
Man, that's great. That's great. Well, we as men and fathers of God are doing our best to lead the way, be the spearhead, to guide the men of this house to the next generation. So that's our goal, is in the men's ministry to be that arrowhead to take us to the next level. So these are three absolutely perfect examples of fatherhood. Right now, we are going to ask Pastor Joel to come up.
Yeah, because I want to interrupt this session. You did great, Paul. Didn't he do great? And I want to invite his daughter to come up. This was not planned by you. Taylor, who just had a baby. Where's the baby picture at? Look at this child. Beautiful child. Grandpa Paul. The Leshko family has been such a fabric woven in the rock from the almost the beginning. I mean, you weren't here like Fred, Adams, before the rock started, but you were almost here. You raised your family here. So I could honestly say you're a product of what this house produces, right?
Amen.
Right? Okay, so you got your wife saying amen. Okay, so great. But we brought your daughter in because I believe that what we transfer to our kids are so important, and not what we just teach them and tell them, but what they pick up and how what that proves in when they start raising their own children. So I posed a question to Taylor, and I said, Taylor, what do you have is the principle your dad taught you now that you're a mom, now that you're a wife, now that you're growing your own family, what has this guy done to improve that in your life?
Other than shooting.
No. So if I had to narrow it down to just one thing, because it's a lifetime of influences that you've had on me, I'd have to say that it's the value that you placed on your family. Watching you every single day acting out, not just, the Bible is filled with verses and they're not just words in our household. They were actions that were put into place. And watching how you loved mom and how you placed value on myself and Tori as we were growing up, it showed me that when I did become older and I was starting to look for a husband, what traits and characteristics I was looking for in a husband. I was looking for the God in the man, and I found it. And now we have a beautiful little baby.
Yeah.
And it's been so much fun watching you be a grandpa too. And so I thank you for placing value and for never missing any event, even though you were working nonstop, 3 jobs at one point so that mom could stay home with us. And you're just a wonderful, wonderful father, and I'm very blessed to have you.
All right. So I have to ask this because I'm Pastor Joel. How many times have you had to forgive him? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Hey, didn't they do great? Didn't they do wonderful? God bless you. So this is our panel. We're not perfect people. We never have been. There's no perfect father around. There's no perfect father, only a heavenly father. But what you've seen here tonight is a rewrite to taking liabilities, shortcomings, things that aren't necessarily your way. And society demands, there's a lot of demands today in society to right the wrongs. Most of these guys didn't have a hope or prayer until God showed up. And when he showed up, he made all things new. And now they're beautiful fathers having beautiful families. And Larry, let me just say this to you. Hats off to you. Because we've seen a video of Tori Hunter today. And it was a phenomenal video. But I remember when I was in back with Tori Hunter, that you became a mentor to that brother. And you invested in him. And that investment has paid off dividends for you. How do we prove we're fathers? Not by our perfection, by exactly what Larry did. Larry stepped up where there was no one for him. And I know Tori, he said it. You have meant the world to me, like a dad, because you were there when I was ready to mess up. And you'd get me on the phone and you would say, hey man, if I were you, I wouldn't do this. Let's think about this. And not only you develop a pro ball player who did phenomenal, has a tremendous career, but you influenced a life that now that guy's influencing many, many people. So hats off to you and hats off to all of you for doing a great job. Give them a
thank
hand.
You for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.